The headline on the front page of the U.S. News & World Report was attention-grabbing. The Real Jesus, Searching for the Truth Between Mel Gibson and the Gospels. The subtitle of the main article is even more provocative. The Real Jesus, How a Jewish Reformer Lost His Jewish Identity. Has Christian prejudice against the Jewishness of Jesus caused many to misunderstand His teachings? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
The ugly truth is that history contains bleak examples of prejudice and violence by Christians against Jews. This is one of the great ironies of history, since the founder of Christianity, Jesus of Nazareth, was on his mother's side of Jewish descent. The events of the New Testament gospel accounts of the life of Jesus are clearly Jewish in culture and religion. Strangely, the direction of Christianity over the past 2,000 years has been to disengage itself from its Jewish roots. David Palmer reports from our news desk.
The distancing of Jesus from his Jewish roots is a complex story involving the gradual separation of the Christian movement from Judaism, both in Palestine and the rest of the Eastern Mediterranean world, beginning shortly after the crucifixion. Interestingly, from the earliest years of the Christian movement, the followers of Jesus simply saw themselves as an extended branch of Judaism, since they had to recognize that their Messiah was Jewish. But as time went on, early Christians tended to ignore or at least minimize the Jewishness of Jesus, and many began to deny that he was even Jewish at all. The most significant move separating Judaism and Christianity came in the year 312, when a man named Constantine, one of four Caesars at the time, had what he called a vision he claimed led him to conversion. At that point in history, Christians were persecuted even more than the Jews. That all changed with Constantine. Fighting under the insignia of the cross, he defeated his rivals to become the one Caesar, then moved swiftly to do the same ecclesiastically. He convened the Council of Nicaea, 250 bishops, met to formulate what they called Articles of Faith, the Nicene Creed. Under Constantine's directives, Sunday became the Christian Sabbath. Religious celebrations excluded Jews and anything Jewish. And any Jew that obstructed the conversion of another was put to death. Jesus was increasingly seen by the Roman Church as a deity and less as a Jew from Nazareth. While some theologians and scholars have attempted to recover the historical Jesus, their attempts were so encumbered by a combination of church politics, deeply ingrained prejudice, and limited evidence that it made it difficult. As a result, their efforts at a fair examination of the Jewishness of Jesus was impeded well into the 20th century. A professor at Oxford University recently wrote that in his view, quote, a willful disregard of the Jewishness of Jesus and his teaching has been partly responsible for all the nasty things that are associated with Christian anti-Semitism. Gary?
David, the long-term effects of this anti-Jewish bent in mainstream Christianity led to hundreds of years of hatred, bloodshed, and actions against the Jews by Christians that was in very many ways against the very teachings of Jesus.
The French, German, and Italians were the European Christians that went on the Crusades. The word crusade, by the way, meant a war of the cross. During the First Crusade, 1095 to 1097, most of the knights died of hunger, thirst, and disease. Those that made it when they got to Jerusalem slaughtered anyone they could find, including Jews. One of the famous generals that led a crusade was Richard the Lionheart, or Richard I of England. Proud knights in the crusades would march toward forgiveness of their sins filled with greed. Bloodshed was worth it. Dying was worth it. Marching toward Jerusalem with victory in their eyes, they would take anyone who stood in their way. In Jerusalem, it seemed the killing would never stop. When the knights got inside the walls of Jerusalem, they killed any non-Christian they could find, on the street, inside buildings, walking on sidewalks, just anywhere at all. That was the Crusades of the Middle Ages. Altogether, Gary, there were six Crusades in a period of 176 years. The Crusades lasted from 1095 to 1271.
David, how much did Vatican II in 1965 change the Jewish stance on this issue?
As far back in history as 1545, the Catholic Church declared that all sinners bore the burden of Christ's death. But that changed in the early 20th century, when theologians again began to discredit the Jews. It culminated in World War II when the Nazis under Adolf Hitler began extermination of the Jewish people. Some theologians even saw Hitler as a modern version of Christ. Some years after the war, the Catholic Church issued a document which fully exonerated the Jews in the death of Jesus. Vatican II also launched a serious Catholic scholarly reconsideration of the Jewishness of Jesus. More specifically, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops issued guidelines reminding Catholics that correct presentation of the gospel accounts of the Passion and death of Jesus Christ do not support anti-Semitism. So in that sense, Gary, Vatican II in 1965 was a dramatic change from the previous edicts handed down over the centuries by the popes in Rome.
Thanks, David. The first followers of Jesus didn't see themselves as participants in a new religion, but as adherents to what was the true scriptural Judaism. The early New Testament church originally continued to observe the seventh-day Sabbath in accordance with the fourth of the Ten Commandments. Over the centuries, the Sabbath and the holy days of Judaism were replaced with Sunday as the Christian day of worship and a calendar of religious holidays with no biblical basis. The strict anti-pagan views of the early church were replaced with an acceptance of pagan customs. The worship of statues representing the old gods and goddesses were replaced with statues of Jesus, Mary, and the saints. If Christians are to be honest with themselves and with God, they have to ask themselves if almost 2,000 years of prejudice against Jews have clouded their understanding of what Jesus, the Jewish rabbi, actually taught. We'll talk about the greatest rabbi in the next segment, but first, we want to tell you about an important booklet we're offering free of charge on today's program. We'll be right back after this.
Criticisms of Mel Gibson's movie often reflect widespread misunderstandings about the controversial figure of Jesus Christ. To help dispel those misunderstandings and significant myths about Jesus Christ and his life, we have released a free 132-page booklet, Jesus Christ, The Real Story. It describes the true yet little understood story about Christ and his surprising message that few comprehend today. The booklet answers such questions as, who was Jesus Christ? Where did he come from? What did he teach? Was he God in the flesh? Was he only a man? Why did he die? A copy of this new booklet, along with a free subscription to the Good News Magazine, is available free of charge by calling 1-800-966-9232. To learn more about the astounding life of Jesus Christ, be sure to request your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story. You'll be glad you did. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Joining us today is a minister and host of the Tomorrow television program, Howard Davis. We're going to discuss this very important topic of Jesus as rabbi. Howard, you know, it's been a while since we've had you on the Good News Radio. It's great to have you back.
Oh, it's very nice to be here.
Okay, let's jump right into this. We know Jesus as Savior. I mean, that's central to Christianity. But let's go back. What role did he play at the time of his ministry in that world?
Well, Jesus was the world's greatest prophet and greatest rabbi of his time, and of course we know of all time. But of course his doctrine was that he was also the Son of God and future King of the world. Now, that was very controversial at the time, but his function was in a society that gained him the credibility. And really the world at the time was that he was a prophet and a rabbi. He was both a prophet and a rabbi. And it was these two roles that Mel Gibson's movie pretty much did not show. And yet his impact was so sensational in those roles, it's really what got him to the point of the crucifixion.
Let me ask this. You're talking about him being rabbi and prophet. First of all, did Jesus ever say that he was a prophet?
Jesus asked his disciples about midway through his ministry, who do men say that I am? And then they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Jeremiah, and some say you're Elijah. And then he asked, well, who do you say I am? And he said, well, you're the Son of God, Christ. And now, at the time, people were saying he was a prophet. He assumed a role, and he actually said he was far greater than a prophet. And he made claims which were so astonishing as he proclaimed to be the prophet of the kingdom of God that really did upset the leadership at the time. And it does say that his doctrine did astonish people. Over and over again, you will find in the Gospels that he goes, he speaks, and he astonishes with his doctrine. The doctrine was of the kingdom of God, of which he was functionally the prophet. He was proclaiming an opportunity and a design for mankind where men would be able to enter what in the Greek is basileia tou Theou. That means the realm of God, the kingdom of God. And what was new also was that he was the very doorway into this new level of existence. Now, what was going on in that particular message and was so sensational was not only was the kingdom of God going to rule the earth, that idea was out there on the street that a kingdom brought by the Messiah was going to rule over the nations. What was never really offered in the prophets or the law that the rabbis had to constantly interpret and make new for the people was the fact that the level of existence of God as spirit, as a spirit son in the divine realm, had never been the deal made with Israel. And so this was a new astonishing doctrine that he was saying was the very purpose for man, and that through Jesus Christ, through faith in him and following his teaching, a man or woman could enter that divine realm forever.
We know he never claimed to be a prophet, but I think back in Deuteronomy 18, that very important messianic prophecy actually declares that he would be a prophet.
Exactly. In fact, the disciples, when he was saying, follow me, were referring right up at the Sea of Galilee, we have found the prophet that Moses spoke of, referring to that very scripture that you're referring to in Deuteronomy 18, where it said there would come a prophet after Moses, after me. But in that day, the scripture adds back in Deuteronomy, you must listen to him. And the implication is also in there that he's going to be telling you some things that you read between the lines and what Jesus Christ actually did bring were rather startling and rather new. And the deal that was given to the Israelites at Mount Sinai was that the people would become the people of God here on earth. It would be a nation. Men and women would live and die in the leading nation that would rule the world ultimately and have all prosperity and so forth. What Jesus was opening up was something far bigger, eternal life in the realm of God.
Let me ask you this. How many people during his time when he was on the earth, how many people do you think he actually came in contact with him or who at least knew about his ministry?
Well, it certainly has to be hundreds of thousands, could very well have been millions. Let me tell you why. We know that Josephus, a Jewish historian at the time of the temple was destroyed, and really a contemporary of Jesus in his younger days, said that Jerusalem had about 1 million people at the time of the feast. Now, Jesus in the last 3.5 years went to the feast every year, and he was at the temple. Judaism at the time was all geared all over the world to what happened at the temple in Jerusalem at the time of the feast every year. And so with about 1 million people there, Jesus, at those critical periods of time and performing the miracles throughout, was the talk of the town. So were hundreds of thousands, but it may have been millions, because there was an expectation, even in the Gentile world. The Roman poet Livy talks about there was to come a son of God from the east, born of a virgin. Now, this was decades even before Jesus Christ, and so there was a worldwide expectation that a great king would come. And Judaism at the time may have had 10 million people in the Roman Empire. That's by certain modern historians' estimates. So Jesus may have actually, in that 3.5 years, had a sensational reputation that a great, great figure has come.
Well, we've looked at a little bit at him as prophet. Of course, he fulfills prophecy, but he came as a prophet, as Deuteronomy 18 said he would. But I want to talk a little bit about the rabbi aspect that we mentioned a little earlier. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Criticisms of Mel Gibson's movie often reflect widespread misunderstandings about the controversial figure of Jesus Christ. To help dispel those misunderstandings and significant myths about Jesus Christ and his life, we have released a free 132-page booklet, Jesus Christ, The Real Story. It describes the true yet little understood story about Christ and his surprising message that few comprehend today. The booklet answers such questions as, who was Jesus Christ? Where did he come from? What did he teach? Was he God in the flesh? Was he only a man? Why did he die? A copy of this new booklet, along with a free subscription to the Good News Magazine, is available free of charge by calling 1-800-966-9232. To learn more about the astounding life of Jesus Christ, be sure to request your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story. You'll be glad you did. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
Welcome back to Good News Radio. We're in segment 3. We're talking with Howard Davis about Jesus' life here on the earth, how he fulfilled the role as prophet, bringing a message about the kingdom of God. But he also came as a rabbi. Now, Howard, the role of rabbis was to explain the law. Did Jesus also follow this pattern in his life?
Well, yes. I have a friend in Jerusalem that I stay in touch with, a rabbi, who explained to me in Jerusalem 3 years ago when I visited that a rabbi's role is to explain the law, and when he is explaining the law, God is with his teaching as he applies it today in the synagogue and in the community for the life of the people of God. Now, Jesus certainly constantly performed this function, and he was recognized as a rabbi. Nicodemus, this is in John 3, everyone who gets their Bible out can read this, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he was so controversial, that is Jesus. And Nicodemus was a leading rabbi, it says a ruler of the people there in Jerusalem and in Judaism. And he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God because no one could do these signs except that God is with him. And so Jesus did get that title, rabbi. But what was interesting, he had not gotten that because it was authenticated by the officials in Jerusalem. It was his tremendous miracles, which they interpreted was meaning that Jesus was being sent directly by God, quite outside the official certification process that had been in place for establishing a rabbi.
When we look at Jesus as a rabbi, though, and we look at the Gospels, what was his impact as a rabbi? I mean, did he have an impact on society as a rabbi?
Well, when he taught, his doctrine astonished people. He explained that both the purpose and the meaning of the law, which was the role of the rabbi to interpret, was all tied up with the nature of God's plan for humanity. And he spoke in universal terms, not just as if he was applying it just to Jews, although it certainly applied to Jews. This was going to apply the law that God gave at Sinai to everyone on earth. In other words, he was taking the law of Moses, almost as if he understood it, believe it or not, better than Moses, because he applied it at the internal, psychological, and spiritual level of the human heart,
but
the
is
very
that,
motives of man.
But is that surprising that Jesus, the Son of God, would know the law better than Moses?
Well, let's explain. When Jesus, this is one of the things that got him killed. When Jesus said that, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath," when they were nitpicking about his sending out his disciples and they went on long walks, longer than maybe was the tradition by that time, although it was not in contradiction to the actual language of the law of Moses, they started nitpicking about Jesus' observance or his disciples' observance of the Sabbath. And when he healed on the Sabbath, oh, that really offended them. But Jesus came back saying, "Look, I am Lord of the Sabbath." Now, the implications of that to the authority of the other rabbis and the high priesthood itself was outrageous. It means, I am God. I'm the one that was at Sinai. When he said Lord, he was also using a term similar to what he had used before. He said, I am before Abraham. Before Abraham, I am. He was claiming to be the one that actually stood on the top of Mount Sinai and led the people of Israel through the Red Sea, destroyed Egypt. This meant that this individual before them was claiming to be the God of Israel. Of course, that is the theology of the Bible in the New Testament. And what we know, though, when he applied the law, he was explaining it in a tradition of Moses that no one could deny.
Well, let me ask you this then. If a rabbi is a teacher of the law, are Christians to look at Jesus today as a rabbi?
Well, absolutely. Christians are supposed to do what Jesus said. Don't call any man rabbi. This is just before the crucifixion, which was somewhat celebrated in the movie, tragically, by Mel Gibson. But Mel Gibson left out all this rabbinic teaching of Jesus. And he said, don't call any man a rabbi but me. In other words, don't call anybody a teacher except by me and exactly what I say. In other words, in other future generations, after I'm not here, any teaching has got to be within the framework. And a rabbi was very strict, as Jesus was very strict, about the nature of following correct teaching. And this is where Christianity today basically jumped the track, both in the role of recognizing the role of Jesus as the prophet of the kingdom of God and actually applying the law of God, because basically Christianity today has either reinterpreted the law by some authority outside of what you find in Scripture, or it has said the law simply done away. And of course, that repudiates Jesus' own teaching regarding the law as the greatest rabbi in applying the law that ever walked the earth.
We know, Howard, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I do want to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Gary.
If you would like to understand more about Jesus of Nazareth, the greatest rabbi, first read the gospel accounts of his life in your Bible. Then read Jesus Christ, the Real Story. You can get your free copy by calling 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. The call is free. The booklet is free. The information may change your life. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Criticisms of Mel Gibson's movie often reflect widespread misunderstandings about the controversial figure of Jesus Christ. To help dispel those misunderstandings and significant myths about Jesus Christ and his life, we have released a free 132-page booklet, Jesus Christ, The Real Story. It describes the true yet little understood story about Christ and his surprising message that few comprehend today. The booklet answers such questions as, who was Jesus Christ? Where did he come from? What did he teach? Was he God in the flesh? Was he only a man? Why did he die? A copy of this new booklet, along with a free subscription to the Good News Magazine, is available free of charge by calling 1-800-966-9232. To learn more about the astounding life of Jesus Christ, be sure to request your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story. You'll be glad you did. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.